The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Naturally, the Bears game with the Dolphins ended in a tie yesterday at Soldier Field. So the people who went sat in the 95-degree weather, steamy, by the lakefront. Did you get what you wanted to see? You knew you were going to see Tyson Bagent. We found out for about how much. You knew you were going to see Case Keenum. But for me, it was also about figuring out what this offense was going to look like, even if the major players were not going to be a part of it.
Without the steam and the heat, you wouldn't have known it wasn't Father's Day. Because, you know, you get a tie, you get a tie, you get a tie. Everybody gets a tie. That's not exactly what we signed up for, but that is preseason football in the NFL circa 2025. I'll say this. You did see some skeleton clues about what maybe we could expect. But, Layla, let's be honest. I was just disappointed that the guys that I really want to see, I didn't get to see. And that's really how I was looking at this game. And I know that's a very almost negative way of looking, even if it's a pragmatic way of looking at preseason football. I was like, I want to see the guys. And so I was kind of angry that I was sitting there watching not the guys out there on the field, but there were guys out there who did make an impression upon me.
Well, you say it's football in 2025, Tua Tagovailoa started. You know, that you kind of knew what you were going to see out of the Dolphins based on, A, the reports we got from joint practice, but then also having him on the field at least for some amount of time. You know, he went 5 for 6.
And then you also saw not the first team full defense get a goal line stand against Tua Tagovailoa and company. And it made me be like, okay, I see you, Dennis Allen. I see the potential of what your guys could do maybe against the first team offense. What if you had actually had your first teamers out there? Maybe they wouldn't even got to the goal line.
Well, I think the point that I know, if this is what I'm getting, then it's my job to figure out what I can learn about this team with what I'm seeing.
And that's fair.
And schematically, what I saw was we have an understanding of at least the order of operations of the Ben Johnson offense. We did see progress out of the offense as a whole. When I'm seeing multiple players that are open and the play is still executed, like it was, for example, after the 2-minute drill, even though it was on 4th and goal, I'm good with it. When I see other signs of progress, like your 37-year-old backup quarterback being comfortable in the pocket, when there is a defined understanding of how they were using Ozzie Trapillo and Braxton Jones, that is an important data point to me. Special teams, by the way, where Man. They did retain the coach who was the assistant from last season, that is something that I feel like was a big part of the discussion because Miami was able to rattle off big return yards at will. I know we want to hate on Matt Eberflus. I get it. But he's right when it comes to hidden yardage and a lot of that coming in your special teams game. And I'm pretty sure that's why your general manager drafted 2 punters. And I'm assuming that that means that those guys should also tackle. I bring this up because it's the standard. You know, it's just like what Ben Johnson had to say when he talked about how it doesn't count this game, but it does matter. When you're trying to evaluate, these are all major pieces of it. Now, shout out to Cairo Santos for hitting a 57-yarder. That hasn't happened before.
He salvaged special teams yesterday. Because let me tell you something. Richard Hightower, looking a lot like Richard Lowtower to me because I was not impressed.
Also, why do I feel like Taj Washington was all world yesterday? His name got brought up so many times. And that's what happens in the preseason.
Names get brought up.
Is this the guy you're going to have to worry about? No. And in the same respect, did I love that we could say to ourselves, oh, the Bears have the ball with 1:45. Let's go 2-minute drill here in the first half. Oh, here's another real 2-minute, so to speak, drill opportunity. And you did see a little bit of the structure. You did see that there wasn't as much pre-snap motion as maybe you thought there was going to be. You know, there were clues that we were given along the way where you're saying to yourself, I see this. And one of the biggest things for me, Marshall, was I felt like I was watching an offense in rhythm. And I can't remember the last time I saw a Bears offense in rhythm. I'm going to even say that in 2018, it was a little bit different because that wasn't Matt Nagy's play style.
I think the biggest takeaway for me, based on that offense that you're talking about, Layla, is it did, of course, remind you to the most recent comparison, which of course was the Bears in 2024. And it looked very different from an assortment of issues we saw throughout the season. And of course, when you suffer a 10-game losing streak through the course of a season, you're going to focus on the most negative things you remember from that season. And as far as just a cleanliness, a crispness of operation, the bar was higher in this preseason game with whoever was out there, whether it was Tyson Bagent, Case Keenum, and it looked like what football is generally supposed to look like.
It also looked like you're not going to try to force stuff if it isn't working. And maybe that means that's why your starters weren't out there on the offensive and defensive side of the balls. I'm less concerned about the defense, especially after what we saw yesterday. When you measure that with what you heard from joint practices, I think there's a defined scheme there and there's a defined way they want to use their personnel. When it comes to what we saw out of the offense, I'm trying to figure out just what the shape of it is. How does this look? Where are your options? And yeah, I think there's a good point that was made by a texter here, which is a nice way to start football season. 847, Bajan missed Burden open in the end zone in the second quarter. I also think Kyle Monange on the actual touchdown play in that second quarter, at least on the fourth and goal, Monange was open in the middle of that offensive set. He was open at the front of the end zone, and then he's able to make the play to the back of the end zone. So I like that there were multiple people that you could see were open in these sets, because I didn't see a lot of dudes getting open last year. Even in these scenarios.
No, it seemed like based upon a comparison to last year, to have two guys open on the same play.
On a passing play.
I was like, oh, this is very interesting and fascinating. And can I get more of this, but make it regular season?
That part. We're going to be saying that, though, for the next
2 weeks.
Month, really, when you consider that we aren't going to see a regular season game until September 8th. So when I consider that piece of it, this is what we're working with. So how are we going to learn about what we've seen so far?
What I've learned from yesterday, especially on the offensive side, Layla, my biggest takeaway was the Bears are good at backup quarterback. I feel very confident, more confident than I have maybe ever, in what I've seen in their backup quarterback room with just Tyson Bagent and Case Keenum's ability to run an offense and look proficient. Even if, let's say, Case Keenum obviously has been playing a long, long time and has started a lot more games than Tyson Bagent, just their standard operating procedure looked good. I think that was one of my bigger takeaways. And also, you look at guys like Kyle Monange, I don't know what this guy is. And now I'm seeing what he is, and I was like, you know what? 6 carries, 30 yards, and looking tough and doing it, I'm good with that.
I am too, but at the same time, when I was watching him on the field, you're also just seeing how that guy in your uniform with the pads and the helmet on relates to his opponents. And yes, I said this at our pre-show meeting. You could tell he just looks smaller. And, unfortunately, that's part of the reason guys like this drop. And you're not necessarily thinking about it when it comes to running the ball. We've seen guys listed at 5'8 run the ball and do it well. That's not the point. But when you know that Ben Johnson talks about how important pass blocking is, and you see him get beat a couple times in the pass blocking game, how can you depend on him in those roles? And that's not to say that you need to. That's to say, does this play work with this guy doing this? And perhaps that answer is no. And then you evaluate and go from there. How many times do you need to run that play? How much do you need your running back to do X, Y, and Z? Was it a one-time situation because he's learning and he's a rookie? That's when you take all these things into account for me.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the beauty of the fact that this is preseason game one of the Ben Johnson era, as we talk about it here on Raheemy and Harrison, understand that there is room for improvement. There was always going to be room for improvement. And you actually have some time to make improvements that need to be made, whether that's the plays you're selecting, the personnel you have out there, and then also just finding out who's going to be where on your depth chart when the regular season starts. It's all not just based on training camp, but what you see when the live bullets start flying, as they did both in the joint practice on Friday and then furthermore in this Sunday scrimmage of a game.
What stood out to you?
The biggest
like
thing,
play wise, like were there certain plays that stood out to you? What was your like? What was your impression of the offense
with Manungai? The one play where it looked like he was gonna not go anywhere, and he just kind of dragged some guys with him and snuck out and got a double digit run. That stood out to me because that showed like the toughness that you need to have if you're gonna be a seventh round pick and find a way onto an NFL roster and actually be making things happen. The other things that stood out, you mentioned goal line and what they were able to do in the red zone, both on defense and offense. Because if you got your twos out there stopping ones from another team, that's impressive to me. You know, I like Dennis Allen, first of all, saying, okay, it's fourth down. We're sending everyone. Watch this.
Full house blitz.
Full house. And so what I loved about that is like saying, hey, it's not the standard, let's see how long our guys can cover you and if our front four can get to you. And no more of that. If I have you in a situation where we think we have an advantage, we're going to push the button. The big red button, the one that says do not hit. They hit the button, went out, and made something happen. That's what you have to do in real football games. We see it all the way from the Super Bowl back to week one. Teams that win take chances, smart chances, mind you, and find ways to get things done. Dennis Allen dialed it up and got things done.
This segment with Rahimi and Harris talking about the Bears game yesterday is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. I think an important part of what you're saying, though, with running a full house blitz to end the game is when the hell else are you going to run it? Like, you have this gift of an opportunity. There's not postseason overtime, and I am perhaps the oddball that thinks there should be based on the fact that when you have teams like the 49ers lose the Super Bowl because they aren't running their postseason overtime procedure, then you could argue that that's something you would like to practice, you would like to game for.
It would help if you know the procedure.
So that's that for me is big. Is there a way to rehearse that? And I'm not saying the Bears are making it to the Super Bowl. They might not make it to the postseason, but the point is, this is all a practice of procedure. And you want to be tight in those procedures. And so I think about that stuff. But when wouldn't you do it then? Yeah, like you have these opportunities. You don't get to use them very often. So why wouldn't you just run the house at people knowing that the game doesn't count? You're still trying to figure stuff out. I get weird in cases like this. I want to run some of that stuff. I think trick plays is a little different because...
You want to save them.
I was going to say, not only do you want to save them, you have to establish certain formations really well first to make that team think that you are running one play and you're not. Yeah, that is a Ben Johnson offensive, I think, not just statement, but that's a tenet, a mission statement of his. So knowing that, why wouldn't you just do something fun like that where you send everybody and see who's first?
I love it. I just thought that was a declaration of what we're willing to do to make something happen. And I don't know that I always saw that. And I've always said, I thought Matt Eberflus was a good defensive coordinator, but a bad head coach. And sometimes I thought the bad head coaching bled into his defensive coordinating. And that's why you got some of the results that you got.
I love that Studs is joining us on Twitch and he says it well. Dennis Allen is a crazy person. Love it. That's the idea, though. When you have these opportunities, why not do it? Did it concern you that the Bears went 3-and-out on their first drive?
Yes.
It did? Because I'm going to say that I was like, wait a second.
You know what
3-and-out on the first drive? And then I had a twinge of flashbacks.
Exactly. It was a little too familiar. A little too on the nose, right?
But then I think it's, they went again and then they went 3-and-out again. But I do want to say this. Part of what you want to see in the preseason is when you give players who are young or new players to your team significant game opportunities, how are they redeeming themselves? And I think we saw a lot of that too. Like there were a couple of plays where Josh Blackwell missed a dude and then he came back and was able to redeem himself during the game. That's what I'm looking for. Yeah, I think we've got to get to, and we will in our next segment, a little bit of who our guys were, not just Kyle Manungai, who unfortunately that first series was also, he's a rookie, he's a seventh round pick. You have to always balance it. But also the guys who we want to see, like the conversation with Braxton Jones right now and Ozzie Trapillo and how that's being evaluated. You know, we want to see the growth out of Austin Booker. And I thought there was a lot of really good discussion. I had a lot of observations about that. That's going to come up in our next segment. Our training camp coverage here on 670 The Score, by the way, with Rahimi and Harris, is presented by Chevy Drive Chicago and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. But I think when it comes to what I'm writing down, what stands out to you, when I'm taking notes and it takes me 4.5 hours to watch the game because I pause and then I rewind and I'm like, oh, why did this play work? Why didn't it? And I'm seeing who's blocking who and what's going on at the line of scrimmage. You like when you're able to say, I see progress here. I see what they were trying to do here. I see why this is important to get a look at right now.
The biggest thing for me is taking that and trying to process it and project with it, right? And understand, okay, what's next? Because it is preseason. And I'm not saying preseason doesn't matter, but I know what matters most is probably the fact that the fans weren't in the stands when Caleb Williams and assorted starters on the offense went out there and ran, according to Brad Biggs, 87 plays with no defense out there.
And by the way, even that number is higher than I thought it was going to be, because Stacey Dales mentioned it on the broadcast. She said they were going to do another 25, and that was in addition. So I think that was, I believe she said that was today. I heard 70 to begin with. 87, that's more than you're running in a game.
More than a game, more than a practice. And Ben Johnson even said afterwards, you know, he was like, I'd like to do more of that. You know, they basically just don't have time. But he liked the procedure where he would get up and either get the play in, and Ben Johnson oversaw it himself personally, get the play in, and then they, you know, do the simulated huddle, go to the line, and do something.
I also want to point this out, not just the fact that we need to know what the guys who weren't playing, who were the starters, were doing before the game, but what they were working on too. Cadence was brought up yet again, which is why I think as long as they're bringing it up, you know that that must be an issue, because why would you tell an opposing NFL team whose whole job is to make you look bad that you're working on it if that's not the case? But also, just the way the plays were being called, especially that two-minute drill. You know, I'm sitting here looking at my notes, and when it says two-minute drill time, exclamation point, and I'm excited about it, that's a change. And then I'm like, oh, hey, look, a downfield blocking concept screen pass that works. It was so nice to see. Travis Homer had two players blocking ahead of him, two offensive linemen who are ahead. That there's checkdowns that are being executed as well by Tyson Bagent. Am I a little concerned about how many times the ball was deflected in the game? Yes. But do I see more of a process happening? Is it married? And can you see what they're talking about, the coaches, when they have all these glowing compliments of these players? Can you see it in the game? And I think closer for me, the answer is yes.
Not only the answer yes to that question, but the more important question, does it make sense? And guess what? I watched it and it made sense. That's not something I could say last year a lot of times, the majority of the time on offense.
I did have to check myself, though, because I remember in the preseason last year, in the Shane Waldron era, that there were times where the Bears had really confident downfield running schemes, and then they entirely got away from them. They executed them well, and then it was like the second the Bengals took it away on like two plays, you never saw it again. And I'm talking about in the preseason. Yeah, and that's what I'm hoping won't happen. Do I think it's going to happen? No. But do I have to check myself when it comes to being excited about what I'm seeing in that way? Maybe.
We'll see how it plays out, but I mean, one guy is Ben Johnson, the other guy is Shane Waldron. That's enough said, literally, based on track record. Enough said.
Coming up next here on Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score, we're going to drill down, as you people with real jobs like to say. Let's talk about the personnel that stood out to us and why. I think that's a really important aspect of this.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.